This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. On May 1st, 2017, tens of thousands of people marked May Day, which over the past decade or so has become a day to affirm the rights of immigrant workers in particular. Immigrants, whether undocumented or with papers, contribute hugely to the U.S. economy. In fact, 25 million people of immigrant origin work jobs from construction to computer programming in the U.S., on average, earning less than their native-born counterparts. Immigrants are a bit more likely to own businesses in the U.S. than native-born Americans and commit far fewer crimes per capita. And contrary to public perceptions, most pay taxes. Today, as we continue our coverage of the May Day March in Los Angeles, we'll bring you the voices of immigrants and their allies.
Lydia Ponce with AIM SoCal and American Indian Movement Southern California and Idle No More SoCal.
So why are you here today? Why are your fellow activists from those groups here today?
Because there's such a division with lies and colonization, 500 plus years, that the people even who are so-called illegal, I say in air quotes, and no human being is illegal, they forgot who they are, and we're not mad at them. We want to come at them with love and say, you know, as indigenous people, we have treaty rights, the Jay Treaty, and we don't recognize borders as indigenous people, and we recognize each other. And there's a lot of honor and a lot of love that's been lost by the beaten down of the spirituality of our culture, of our language, even the connection to land and who owns the land. We're standing on Tongva land, and no one really, I'd say probably less than 10% of the people in Los Angeles or Southern California know which territory and which region belongs to whom, how it was stolen. The Hachaman in the south, the Tatavium in the north, and on the west coast we have Chumash. So I'm here with a lot of love to remind people that we're united, we're prayerful, and we're powerful best when we're peaceful, and we are together. We had nothing but a beautiful march, unified. We're totally taken aback with this kind of administration, even the city of Los Angeles and how they flip-flop on their policies for sanctuary. So that's why I'm here, that's why we're here.
Were you involved in the organizing of the march itself? Or?
Minor parts, because we're organizing for oil money out, people power in on May 20th in Sacramento. We're organizing with March and Rally, California for Progress, Red Earth Defense, Cheat. We're involved with, we have a 90 to our social justice political coalition, LA Resistance Coalition, and also with their environmental. We just had that huge People's Climate March in Wilmington. So the part that we organized was the indigenous collective, making sure that we held down a prayer to welcome people to the land that's Tongva. And wherever we go, when we hold space with prayer, it makes it sacred.
The people who are supporting Trump, there was a small group of people on the street corner. What do you as an indigenous person say to them who say, we are the true patriots, we love USA, and you know, their chants of USA, what do you say to that?
First of all, we love America before it was America. And the ancestors that we have, their DNA and we have their memories in our DNA, which makes us resilient. We are resilient enough to forgive them and to pray for them, because they forgot who they are. You have African American, you have Latino or Hispanic, whatever they choose to call themselves, and that's okay. We put them in our prayers every night and every morning so that way they could change their mind, so that way they could actually recover their spirit, because they left their spirit somewhere, someone who oppressed them, someone who broke them. So we need to have them realize if they call their spirit back, they could actually have a healthier and happier life, because we're not about iPhones and what we're driving. We're not about corporate America. We're not about corporate banks. We don't have rights, human rights or civic rights or civil rights, if we're allowing people to tell us in a two-party system, lesser than evil, who to vote for. Who to vote for? How do you do that? You have people that voted for Trump that are being deported. How does that work? It's just, that's not justice. It's not justice. It's just us at the end of the day. So if I was to say anything to them right there, I'd say you can't spell Trump without rump.
So finally, on May Day, this is supposed to be International Workers' Day. How do Indigenous communities fit within the international struggle for workers' rights?
Indigenous globally, less paid, most oppressed, most raped, sexually assaulted, beaten. When they get into an accident at work and they don't recover their health or even a limb or a finger or their eyesight, they're hurt to the point where they become disabled. Shame on corporate America, because while they are touting, Trump is touting Make America Great Again and Made in America, he's having his stuff made in China. So to the people of the world, of the indigenous, the people from the Philippines, China, if they woke up and they actually had the power of the $3 they earned in the day, 50 in a week, whatever it is, if they were to even pull their money from the big banks and they were to divest, we'd have the power recovered collectively. We're asking people to think about divesting and taking back the power. It's a 1-2 punch with the money and with your vote. And to vote green or to vote something else, because this isn't working, Democratic or Republican. It's just not working.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Kawana Anderson, and I'm here to fight against fear.
My name is John Gavan, and I'm here to show people that the next generation is here and ready and prepared for the next, when to get Trump out of office. That's what we're prepared for.
And you're very young. How old are you?
14.
So you guys are mother and son. You've been traveling with the Caravan Against Fear for, 3 weeks now?
Yes, we've been on the caravan since April the 10th, and we just got back last night.
So you spent a lot of time in different parts of California and border cities. Why? What made you join this caravan? This is a big undertaking.
Well, my son actually pushed me to come, to be honest with you, and I thank him for that, because it was a life-changing experience for the both of us, as well as educational. We've been through the coast of California, started off in Sacramento. We visited Oakland, Richmond, San Jose, San Joaquin, Modesto, Fresno, Bakersfield, Adelante, Orange County, Irvine, back to LA on the 17th, and then we headed out to the southern borders, hitting San Diego, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
So are you both from LA?
Yes.
So tell me why you pushed your mother to do this with you. What led you, what motivated you to go on this caravan?
Because I didn't want to go to school. Well, what motivated me to come on this caravan is when I was with COP in Sacramento.
Tell me about COP too.
Children Over Politics is a group which started based on the first union, USWW, to have a Children Over Politics, a youth group.
And so you found out about the caravan?
Through Children Over Politics. We're actually in Sacramento lobbying, and they were talking about it, and I was like, hey, I want to go. That sounds cool. And I would have went, and I wanted to go, and I couldn't go without my mom. So, you know.
What did you learn while you were on this caravan? What opened your eyes to the world?
What opened my eyes is that I was here fighting for the future. That's what opened my eyes. I was the youngest one on the caravan. That's what opened my eyes, because as the youngest, I have to relay the messages now. I have to go to my peers and say, hey, you shouldn't do that, because this is how it's going to affect it, because I've seen it already.
What sort of connections did you make? Did you meet other people your age while you were on the caravan who had different experiences and backgrounds from you?
Well, I didn't meet people my age. They were like 20 and over. But
or even younger.
Yeah.
We met some people that were younger.
10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, the experience for me was one of the best experiences I've had in my life besides my mother. Well, who I met is my brothers and sisters. I didn't meet no immigrants. I didn't meet no blacks. I didn't meet no whites. I didn't meet no purple. I didn't meet no yellow and no green. I met my brothers and sisters.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And so you see all of those folks as the same as you?
Yep. No different. We both make money. We both bleed the same. No different. We're all out here chanting and stuff. It's no different.
Are you worried about your future under Trump? In 4 years, you will be able to vote in the next presidential election, I'm guessing, if your birthday falls in the right place.
Well, it is more Democrats being born this year. Did you know that? So Generation Z is what my generation is. It's going to be more for Democrats, and I bet you Trump won't have another term because I'm not going to vote for him. I'm pretty sure my other peers are not going to vote for him because I'm going to relay the messages of what I learned from this caravan that has taught me a lot, my experiences from the caravan.
You must be very proud, Mom.
Yes, yes, I am. We've been through some struggles ourselves, and I think all the caravanners have learned no matter where we land or where we live, our stories are all the same. We heard about kids being separated from their families, their mothers and fathers, and I've actually had my kids separated from me. I'm a mother of three. I'm a security officer of 17 years. I work for the Los Angeles LGBT Center in Hollywood, and I've struggled. Workers' justice, black workers' justice, I've struggled over 20 years to take care of my kids, and they've tried to keep me down. As a minority woman, a woman of color, you know, I've been suppressed. And no matter how much they try to suppress me, I always stand up tall and fight. I've always taught my kids to stand up tall and fight. Fight for what you believe in and believe in what you fight for. So again, as my son says, they're the future. And hopefully we won't have to fight again, but we also thought that when Martin Luther King fought. We also thought that when Malcolm X fought. We also thought that when Cesar Chavez fought. And look, here it is now, we're fighting again. So I want to be able to teach my kids and the youth, because they are our future, that if we have to fight, they know how to fight. And not only do they know how to fight, don't be afraid of your freedom of speech.
Why are we here?
To fight against fear.
How long will we fight?
Morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, that's our chat.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. Pray for us. Hashtag against fear on Facebook. You can see all our stops on the journey. All the highlights. He did two wonderful speeches. I've spoke myself. All the people that we connected to, they have stories as well that you could connect on there, or you could go on caravanagainstfear.org. God bless you all. You will pray for us as we pray for you.
My name is Tom Agabine, and I'm here because I believe in rights for all kinds of people, up and down and inside and out in every which way that you can. If we don't have rights, we don't have a nation.
And you are a man of the cloth?
I am. I'm a Presbyterian.
So is this your first May Day march?
No, it isn't.
So you've marched before on workers?
Yes. I get around.
Tell me about your sign that you're carrying.
Clue, C-L-U-E, but clergy and laity united for economic justice. And our head is Rabbi Jonathan Klein. And we've been long involved in workers' rights and now immigration rights primarily, and organization.
So a lot of evangelicals voted for Trump. If you had the chance to talk to somebody who says, I'm a Christian, that's why I voted for Trump, what would you say to them?
Well, that's a tough thing to answer politely. I'm serious about my faith. And that for some, their Christian faith should lead to voting for Trump. I don't understand that. I think for myself, something is seriously, seriously wrong with their understanding of the Christian faith. And I don't know if I could have a legitimate conversation with them unless maybe they were drunk and I were drunk and we were able to sit down and just chat. I don't know. But I think something has seriously gone wrong with American evangelicalism.
So here in Los Angeles, a city that's very rich in immigrant diversity, do you expect a city like this to be at the forefront of economic justice for all people? Because, you know, even though we have a lot of people of color in positions of power, economic justice is still elusive. People are still earning, you know, very little money and barely able to make ends meet. If they're immigrants, it's even worse.
Well, if Los Angeles isn't a part of the movement or even ahead of the movement, it's failing its responsibilities as a city. I think one of the things about economic justice, I've said for years, justice is green, justice is profitable. These things are not contrary to one another, except the oligarchy see it differently.
Profitable for everybody, right?
It's profitable for everybody.
But the oligarchs want profits just for themselves.
Of course, because the pie for them is very small, and unless they have the whole darn pie, they go off pouting in a corner somewhere.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Oh,
my name is Arlene Inoue, and I'm the treasurer of the United Teachers Los Angeles.
Why is UTLA, the teachers union, one of the largest in the country, or the largest?
Largest local.
Why is UTLA being represented here?
Well, this is an important day to us. Not only is it International Workers' Day, but we're also here to resist the tax of Trump DeVos on our immigrants, on all of our races, the Muslims, and all the anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and all the different ways that Trump is attacking the people in the city and the people in this nation.
Have you noticed, are teachers noticing much greater fear in the classroom since January?
Absolutely. We have teachers reporting that their students are mentioning the fear of their parents being taken away, and that we've all had a couple of parents, two from Boyle Heights, who were taken, and we've rallied around them.
Who were picked up by ICE and detained or deported?
That's right. They've been detained. One's an asylum case, and one is a regular deportation. And two fathers, as you probably heard, Romulo and Amado Escobedo, they were picked up while dropping their kids to a school. So it's very, very close to us, and our families are very fearful. We've heard there's a drop in attendance at school, and we're seeing all these different signs.
Now, I understand that there was a push to try to have teachers be able to get the day off to march today?
Oh, yes. We were asking Superintendent Michelle King to please shut down the schools in LA Unified. We have schools around the marching sites, and parents won't be able to get their kids to school or get them home. And we know last time in 2006, I believe, that they couldn't get their kids till 10 in the evening. So we said, for the safety of all children, and to mark this historic event, please shut down the schools. But she did not comply with that.
So teachers, are there some teachers out here anyway?
Yes, and our teachers know that it's a stand for human rights, for civil rights. They've chosen many to take an unpaid day and be here in solidarity with our families. We are not afraid. We want to stand up and resist. And we want to create the vision of a multicultural, diverse city and nation that is for human rights and is for justice for all of our people.
Thank you so much, Arlene.
Thank you, Sonali.
Good to see you with.
My name is Edwin Milan, and I work for the ACE Healthcare Foundation. And we are representing today our affinity group called LOUD.
Why is this organization being represented on a May Day march?
Because we provide healthcare. And unfortunately, if we do not provide it to everyone, people are going to continue getting infected because of the disease. You have to remember that treatment equals protection. If you're treated with HIV, the likelihood that you're going to infect someone if the condom breaks is much, much lower than someone that doesn't even know his or her status.
And so what's the connection with May Day? Do you serve a largely immigrant population or immigrants and non-immigrants?
Well, in Los Angeles, 27% average of our patients are Latinos. And we have about 6,500 patients in our clinics.
Read out your T-shirt for our radio audience.
Inmigrantes son americanos. Immigrants are Americans.
And the message there being that today it's just as important for immigrants to have rights?
Yeah, it's not just that. I don't know if you noticed in the group of people that I have with me, we have Iranian people that are immigrants here too, and they work for AHF, pharmacy technicians. We have some Russian people that work with us, and they're also immigrants. So it's everyone. You know, everyone who came to this country to work hard and to do something better, now they feel repressed and feel oppressed by these new absurd laws that are happening. And we need to go out and show the public that it's everyone, affects every single person.
Thank you so much. Good luck today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's part of our special report from May Day in Los Angeles, one of many marches that took place this past Monday around the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.